If you love the national parks as much as we do, then we have a book recommendation for you.
Moon USA National Parks Hiking is a brand new guidebook from Moon Travel Guides that covers the top 100 hikes across 40 U.S. national parks.
Whether you want to descend into the Grand Canyon, stroll the shoreline in Acadia, or cling to the cliff edges in Shenandoah, Moon USA National Parks Hiking gives you the inspiration to find the perfect hike for you and the practical planning tips to make it happen. You'll find everything from easy, family-friendly hikes to strenuous, multi-day treks, plus tips for wildlife watching, backpacking, finding solitude, and more.
This book is an essential resource for National Parks fans, as well as a fantastic holiday gift for any outdoorsy people on your list.
You can find Moon USA National Parks Hiking wherever books are sold, or click the link in our show notes. And if you don't already have a copy on your shelf, be sure to also check out the original award-winning best-selling guide that started it all, Moon USA National Parks.
Find your trail and prepare for an unforgettable journey in America's top national parks with Moon Travel Guides. Moon, let your heart be your compass. Let Moon be your guide. Hello and welcome to Trail Mix by Gaze at the National Parks, the podcast. I'm Mike.
And I'm Dusty. If you're joining us for the first time, Trail Mix is the short format episodes of our show, while our long format episodes explore one hiking trail in one national park, one park at a time. Trail Mix usually allows us to dive deeper into the things we didn't get to cover in the long format episodes, including interviews, history, science, and environmental justice, but also the politics that impact our public lands.
That's right, and this episode is all about recent decisions by the Department of the Interior that will impact visitation to the national parks in the coming years. So what's one of our favorite things to experience in the national parks?
Well, I have to say, and I've said this forever, is I love being able to walk through a national park and hear multiple languages being spoken.
Yeah.
That was something I experienced the first time I ever, with full knowledge, went to a national park.
Sure.
Because I had been to two prior to that and didn't realize that I was in a national park. I remember that first time in Zion, because outside of English, we heard Spanish, we heard Mandarin, we heard French.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we heard German at one point. And I loved it.
Yeah,
I loved
great.
It. It's one of the beautiful things. It's a wonderful way to meet people. It's a wonderful way to learn about other people.
I feel like it underscores the fact that outdoor spaces are for everyone.
Yeah.
No matter
absolutely
where you come from, what your background is, like, they should be accessible to everybody. And I think it just is, it's part of the beauty of the outdoors. It's like, it's a space that we can all enjoy, that there needs to be no interpretation. Like, you can go to a national park and not be able to read any of the signage within reason and still have a wonderful time. Like, obviously you want to pay attention to safety signs, and those are often presented in multiple languages, but you could go to any of those spaces, have a wonderful time. It's like going to an art museum. You don't necessarily need to be able to read the language of the museum that you're in. You can appreciate the art for what it is, just like you can appreciate the outdoors and appreciate nature for what it is without any sort of language barrier.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think, and we are completely aligned here, is that it is important that our outdoor spaces remain for everyone.
Right.
It's part of what makes us able to share America with other people.
Mm-hmm.
And it is one of the things that
sort of a bedrock of the country, even though we like to forget that.
Correct.
Every few decades or so.
Correct. It is.
We're like, or at least some of us, I should say, are like, no, only for Americans.
Right. Well, here is the rub, as it were. In their infinite wisdom and American first xenophobia-laden dreams, this administration, specifically Doug Burgum, current Secretary of the Interior, has announced some drastic changes to the entrance fees of the national parks taking place in 2026.
While the standard fee for the America the Beautiful Pass, which gets U.S. residents access to all 433 units of the National Park Service, will remain at the $80 fee, even though it was announced as though it was a screaming new deal, international visitors will have greater economic barriers to entering the national parks throughout the U.S.
Non-residents will now have a choice of a $250 annual pass or paying $100 more per person per entrance to 11 of the most popular national parks in the park system, which include Acadia, Bryce Canyon, Everglades, Glacier, Grand Canyon, Grand Tetons, Rocky Mountain, Sequoia and Kings Canyon, Yellowstone, Yosemite, and Zion National Parks. That $100 would be on top of the typical day rate for entrance.
The logic behind this luminous decision is that Americans who are already supporting the parks through their tax dollars shouldn't have to shoulder more of the burden for entrance to the parks. But non-residents who offer nothing of value, hear the sarcasm there, should. On top of this, fee-free entrance days to the national parks will increase this coming year, but these days are for U.S. residents only.
Some of these new fee-free days include July 3rd, 4th, and 5th to celebrate the 250th anniversary of the U.S., September 17th, which is Constitution Day, October 27th, which is the birthday of Theodore Roosevelt, and June 14th, which is Flag Day, but also the birthday of our current sitting president. More on that egomania later.
Some would argue that the fee increases for foreign visitors is a corrective action considering when Americans travel abroad, they often find tourist taxes levied against them in places they may be staying, like other tourists of other nationalities who are also visiting these spaces. However, we would argue that this rate increase makes the parks themselves cost prohibitive in comparison to tourist taxes elsewhere.
Increasing the fees for international travelers to visit these natural spaces is incredibly pointed and acts as a big "you're not welcome" sign to visitors. Visitors who have already stopped coming to the U.S. as international visitation has declined in large part to the policies of this current administration, both in regards to travel bans and economic policies that are impacting many on a global scale.
International travelers add economic boon to the places they visit, including the national parks and the small but important gateway communities that border on national parks. In the same way that the government shutdown of this year has marred the parks, both economically and environmentally, this new policy will definitely present a downturn of visitation from the international community. And all in the name of fiscal responsibility? Question mark?
We won't argue that the national parks should be better funded, but not at the cost of the visitor, or not in a way that makes the parks cost prohibitive for residents or non-residents alike. The commodification of these natural resources, which belong to everyone, feels exactly like it has all along under this administration. Business people trying to make a national park more like an amusement park and turn a better and bigger profit. Or business people trying to devalue these spaces to make them undesirable areas to visit so that they can be sold off for mining, drilling, and land development. If it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck, then it's probably a duck.
Getting back to running things like an amusement park, the average cost of a ticket to the Magic Kingdom in Florida is about $120 a day, where visitation to a national park like Acadia should cost anywhere from $20 to $35, depending on the length of stay, a day or a week. That $20 to $35 includes entrance to anyone in the vehicle that you're traveling in. However, under these new guidelines, if you're an international visitor and you don't purchase the $250 annual pass and you visit Acadia, you'll pay $100 on top of that $20 to $35 per visitor per day that you're in the park.
That is insane. As an international visitor, it would now cost you less to see Mickey Mouse or ride Space Mountain than it would to get outside and experience the Beehive, Cadillac Mountain, and the Scudic Peninsula at Acadia National Park.
So let's dig in. Should the entrance fees to the national parks cost more? Based on the options to visit a park, a day, a week, an annual pass to just that park, veteran lifetime, senior lifetime, and annual pass to all parks, I think that U.S. residents could in fact shoulder the burden a bit more when it comes to the America the Beautiful Pass.
As people who get a lot of national parks travel in a year, we have often remarked that the America the Beautiful Pass could easily be $100 or $120, especially because there are other options. For example, if you're going to visit Acadia for a week, a $35 entrance fee for anyone in your vehicle for the week feels like a steal. If you are a local or someone who visits Maine a lot, you could specifically just get a yearly Acadia pass for $70, which also feels like a steal if that is your home park. The tiered system of entrance actually allows for choice on the part of the visitor, and each of these options are relatively inexpensive and not so cost prohibitive.
In fact, you could probably slightly increase the fees on each of these levels of entrance without making waves, or driving visitorship down, or asking more of the international community. If you're really interested in supporting the parks and want to visit, a $5 rate hike at each level of entrance on what already is a lot of access for very little money feels really fair. People who love the national parks are happy to support them, and those who can give more will probably do so in other ways, or at least could do more in other ways.
I know if we were traveling abroad and there was this big price tag on an entrance as compared to what residents were paying, we would both think rather hard about whether or not the trip was worth it. But the people who are making these decisions don't seem to be having the same thoughts, either because money is no object, lack of care for the international community, abject failure on the part of their governance, or a combination of all three. Hey y'all, it's Dusty and Mike with exciting news.
That's right, it's our episode finder. It's all about making finding our episodes even easier.
Want to find more episodes about hikes in Shenandoah? With over 10 episodes across two separate seasons, it would have involved a lot of scrolling and searching.
Now, with our episode finder, you can find all those episodes with a few easy clicks. That way, finding an episode on Yosemite from season 1 is just as easy as finding an episode on Zion, Yellowstone, and Haleakala, all in separate seasons.
With over 275 episodes in 35 different national parks, our episode finder will add ease when finding out more about hikes in these spaces.
But it's not just about hikes by national park. We've categorized our entire library so you can find hikes by state, hikes by terrain, and hikes by difficulty.
And all of our Trail Mix episodes are there too, so you can easily find our science-based episodes, interviews, and more.
Planning a trip to Colorado and want to hear more about our adventures there? Want to grunt it out on some really tricky trails or learn more about glaciers, grasslands, and mountains?
Just click the link in our show notes or on our Instagram bio, and it pops right up. You can also head directly to our website and look for the episode finder at the top of the navigation bar.
Conquer one hike in one national park, one park at a time, with just a few clicks with our episode finder. Happy trails!
Well, it seems as though this episode is all about the fee structure of the national park shifting. There's another layer to the announcement from the Interior Department's recent announcement, which comes by way of the graphics of the America the Beautiful Pass.
Anyone who has ever had annual America the Beautiful Pass will tell you that the passes feature landscapes, flora, and fauna that make up the national parks throughout the United States. We have had several of these passes at this point, and the images that are picked to adorn this piece of plastic give pause to the beauty and splendor of the parks within.
Being that it's America's 250th birthday, it is within reason to think that there may be some more patriotic symbolism adorning these passes this year. There are a variety of sites under the purview of the NPS that would make a wonderful addition to the graphics of the pass, like the Liberty Bell, Gettysburg National Military Park, or any of the sites on the National Mall.
However, will we get that this coming year? No, we will not. Because the person who shares a birthday with Flag Day, our current sitting president, will adorn the card himself alongside an image of George Washington. Barf. Yeah, I don't need to see his face anywhere, least of all on this annual pass to the national parks. A coin, Mount Rushmore, or any other space, it does not belong.
This is a move of a megalomaniac narcissist, or someone who is trying to suck up to him, paging Secretary Burgum. Furthermore, it's a slap in the face to anyone who works as an NPS worker or who supports the public lands, as his presidency, both terms, have been disastrous for them.
Having gone through three government shutdowns under this presidency, in which the parks were forced to stay open, park spaces have been irrevocably damaged, facilities have been misused, and the landscapes have been vandalized. This presidency has also impacted staffing of the NPS through mass layoffs, has cut or proposed cuts to the NPS and NFS, among other public lands, stymied conservation efforts, actively rallied against the Clean Air, Clean Water, and Endangered Species Acts, open public lands to drilling, and is all around not a friend of the national parks or the environment in general.
Which is why I think it's particularly rich that in his announcement, Secretary Burgum quoted Theodore Roosevelt by saying, quote, "There can be no greater issue than that of conservation in this country," end quote. Opposite. You as Interior Secretary have done so much damage to conservation efforts, and if it isn't you directly, then you're complicit in orders from your higher-ups.
This card that we all are going to have to look at for a whole year is going to be traumatic for anyone who loves the parks. That the creepy visage of the con man in chief, who has no love for the natural world or splendor within it, and who naps through meetings in his gaudier by the day gold-plated office, devoid of life and beauty, will haunt us from our wallet sleeves.
This is also just another way to force him and his policies and his image down the throats of people who are too bloated with the bullshit we have been fed to want to even feign being able to put up with more.
And just to circle back to the whole 250th birthday thing, there have been 4 other presidents who have served during major anniversaries of the nation, including John Quincy Adams during the semi-centennial, Ulysses S. Grant at the centennial, Calvin Coolidge at the sesquicentennial, and Gerald Ford, the bicentennial, and none of them put their image on blast all over the place.
Even Washington, who will also join Trump on this pass, would never be so brazen. Washington, despite his flaws, was wise enough to step down and pass the torch, recognizing that the government, the nation itself, was bigger than just one person. What a fascinating juxtaposition. Someone who helped form the nation, put country above self, and recognize the limits of powers and position with someone who quite literally is the opposite.
So, how do you avoid this pass and the unlocked trauma of it all? Buy your new National Park Pass in December of 2025 before the new designs hit in January, and you will have an America the Beautiful Pass that lasts through 2026. That doesn't feature the face of someone who is actively dismantling the public lands for which the pass is used to enter.
The sources for this episode include the Department of the Interior's website, doi.gov,
The Guardian article, U.S. triples national park fee for non-residents amid new fee for Americans, by Cecilia Noel.
And the SF Gate article, Trump's face on new national park passes outrages conservationists, by Amanda Height. Looking for more episodes like the one you just heard? Then be sure to check out our episode finder for episodes by park, state, hiking difficulty, and terrain, as well as all of our Trail Mix episodes in one helpful place. Click the link in the show notes of this episode, our Instagram bio, or visit our website to make your listening experience even easier.
This has been Gaze at the National Parks, the podcast, and we're here to remind you to hike early and hike often, and that adventure is always out there.
Gaze at the National Parks was created, produced, edited, and hosted by us,
Justin Dallard
and Michael Ryan.
To see images from this episode, follow our Instagram at Gaze at the National Parks. To contact us, email us at gazeatthenationalparks@gmail.com. And to find out more about the parks visited on this show, visit our website, gazeatthenationalparks.com. That's Gaze, G-A-Z-E.
All original artwork featured on Instagram and on our website is by me, Michael Ryan.
All original music was written and performed by Dave Seaman and Mariella Klinger, with Sean Sklios on guitar. Our music producer is Skylar Fortgang.
We would also like to acknowledge that while recording this episode, that we were on the traditional and stolen lands of the Lenape people, also known as New Jersey.